Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
Thank you. We've been working our way closer and closer to confirmation with our 10 junior confirmads. We have had 5 of our 10 junior confirmads give their essay already, and in our service today, we'll hear number 6. So please remember our junior confirmads and our thoughts and prayers as well. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news that in Jesus Christ, all our sins are paid for. Heavenly Father, it is certainly not fair that Jesus paid the penalty that we deserve. It is certainly not fair that all of the punishment for all people, for all time, for all sin, was laid on your Son, your only Son, whom you love. Heavenly Father, while it is certainly not fair, it is the best good news that any of us could ever hear. We thank you today and always for your perfect justice in Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, now, as we know and believe that our sins are forgiven, teach us to live in the love and freedom that you have given us. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hymn 606.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
the vast majority of our essays are usually given during Holy Week or Wednesdays in Lent. And Max is going to have one on Sunday morning. And I think it is especially good that we hear this particular essay on this particular day. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 is Max's confirmation verse. Max fits it.
Understanding in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I chose Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 because it tells you to listen to God, trust in him, and put him first in everything you do, and he will give you strength and keep you on a straight path. I believe that God will be there to guide me by helping me make the right choices when I have decisions to make, because sometimes I may not understand what the right choice should be. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings, is telling us to trust in the Lord as well as telling us to not trust in our own understanding. If we trust in the Lord, we cannot rely on our own ability to understand everything God is doing at the same time. Our most thought-out ideas cannot even compare to God's plan. It is written in 1 Corinthians 1:25, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than the human wisdom." Isaiah 55:8-9 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This teaches us that our thoughts may seem similar to God's, but our thoughts have limits and God's do not. That is why we must acknowledge him and trust in his understanding over our own. The problem is our sin. We know we should trust in God and his understanding, but we are selfish and proud. We would rather listen to our own voice than the word of God. The Lord's Prayer, the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This means the good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. This is done when God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not lead us hallow the name of God, nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the work and our flesh, but strengthens and keeps us steadfast in his word and faith unto our end. This is his gracious and good will. Luther's Small Catechism. Proverbs 3:6, "In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." We must know our Lord completely, not just knowing he is out there. When Jesus called himself the good shepherd in John 10:14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. I will follow Jesus and lean on him no matter what may come my way. Good times, bad times, happy times and sad times. He will always be with me if I acknowledge him and lean on his understanding. He will give me strength when I need it and happiness too. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that appears to be done right, but in the end leads us to death." Understanding something means it has meaning. It is the ability to comprehend it, as also being aware of feelings and having good judgment. Let's say your friend has lied to you about the ice on the pond being thick enough to walk on, so you trust him and you go on the pond. But once you are out, you hear the ice cracking and you fall through. When you are with a different friend on another day and he also tells you the ice is safe to walk on, you probably will not trust him, even though he is telling you the truth. If you lean on God's understanding instead of your own, He will lead you to make the best decisions you can make, since your own understanding is damaged. The key is John 10:11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for wayward sheep. He suffered and died for all of our sins. Trust in ourselves instead of God. The Creed, the second article of redemption, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." This means I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won, delivered me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be wholly his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Luther's Small Catechism. Ask and you will receive. Jesus wants us to pray to him every day. In doing this, we acknowledge him and allow him to lead our ways. The Lord answers all of our prayers with yes, no, or wait. We must be sure to accept and follow his answers, because we are leaning on his understanding, and only he knows the best answer. Trust in God with your whole heart and put him before anyone and anything. If you do, he will grant you and send you to heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "From now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." We cannot yet see the whole picture God has painted. If we are able to trust in God truly, we will have to release everything else. The best human plans can't even compare to God's amazing plans. We have to approve of God's ways, even though we cannot even begin to understand them. To trust in the Lord fully, we cannot put our thoughts before the religion. I'm willing to accept God's help and to give God the credit for doing a great job. I will not start anything that the Lord is not part of, and I praise him in everything. Hebrews 13:15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. If he directs my path, I will walk in the light and not stumble and fall." After confirmation, I will, with the grace of God, continue my faith and my relationship with the Lord by attending church and attending Bible studies. I know this is what we all say, and I am hopeful and confident that I will follow through. I will pray, trust with all my heart, and listen to God to give me the knowledge to do what is right.
Sherrill County.
Great job, Max. I might have to remind you of that last paragraph a time or two over the next 4 years, but very well done and very well said. We continue now with our office hymn, 430, help me out, 438. Thank you.
Thank you.
Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him in from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We speak together the gradual for the day as you find in the front of your bulletin insert.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. You delivered me from my enemies. You rescued me from the man of violence.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from John chapter 8. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known Him. I know Him. If I were to say that I did not know Him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Lenten responses on the top of page 222. Jesus is propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered unto death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this day is the gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 8th chapter of the gospel according to St. John, dear friends in Christ. You can't have Jesus as simply a good teacher. You can't have Jesus as only your friend, your companion. You can't have Jesus solely as a great philosopher or a giver of good advice. You can't make Jesus a saint, a doer of good deeds, a banner for your political or social cause without considering these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Anyone who claims to have an opinion about Jesus must deal with these words. They cannot be ignored. You see, they come from the same lips that spoke words that we really like. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. These words came from the same person who does things that we really like just a few verses before our text, where he rescues an adulterous woman from mob execution. The same Jesus who says all those wise things that we love to hear, the same Jesus who does all those kind and compassionate things that we want to emulate, he is the same one who said, Before Abraham was, I am. Decades ago, the Christian thinker C.S. Lewis said that when you are confronted with the question, What do you think of Jesus? There are only three options. Either Jesus is a lunatic, that is, he thinks he is God and isn't, or Jesus is a liar, that is, he knows he isn't God and he's the greatest con man in history, or maybe the worst con man in history, or He is Lord. That is, he knows he is God. And it's actually true. The Jews understood this dilemma perfectly. They actually listened to the words of Jesus. Imagine that. They listened to all of his words. And they knew what he meant by them better than most people today. Better than any political interest group, any social activist organization, better than many Christians. They took Jesus, they took his words seriously. They looked beyond the miraculous healings and all those wise sayings, and they got to the heart of the matter. They understood what Jesus was claiming about himself. I am God in the flesh, walking this earth, and all who believe in me have life in my name. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. They heard Jesus loud and clear. They understood him perfectly, and they gave their answer. This guy's a liar, or he's a lunatic, but he is certainly not the Lord. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" You see, the Jews didn't want this Jesus as their friend. They didn't want this Jesus as their teacher. They didn't want him for his wise sayings. They cared little for those. And they despised his acts of mercy because they rejected who he said he was. Well, think about it. Why take the advice of a crazy person? Why appreciate the miracles of a con man? Why befriend a liar? You see, they were much more honest than most who deal with Jesus today, who superficially follow Jesus, who see him as an advocate for a cause, the companion we lack in this world. We think that we can have Jesus without dealing with the words of our text. But the Jews knew better. They took Jesus' claims seriously and they rejected them. They didn't want a superficial Jesus. They didn't need a banner or a slogan. They didn't want a Jesus who simply made them feel better about themselves. If Jesus wasn't God as he claimed to be, the Jews wanted nothing to do with him. He was worthless to them. You see, they took Jesus seriously. They took the question, "What do you think of Jesus?" seriously. And they gave their answer quite clearly. There's only one problem. They're wrong. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. And you dishonor me." Any false view of Jesus dishonors him. Any view that calls him a liar or a lunatic, just as much as any view that doesn't take his claims seriously. Jesus is dishonored when people call him simply a good teacher. Jesus is dishonored when his compassion for the sick and needy, very real, is emphasized at the expense of his claims to be God. He is dishonored when you simply think of him as your friend and companion, which he is, but not as your Lord, not as your Savior. Jesus is dishonored when his cross, his salvation, is minimized or ignored, when his cross is skipped over in favor of emphasizing his teachings or his miracles. You see, Jesus in our text, he told us what is the most important thing to know about him. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You see, the Jews took those claims seriously. They heard Jesus loud and clear, and they said, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death." They bring forth Abraham as their expert witness. They claim that the great father of their nation testifies against Jesus simply by being dead. Pretty easy way to be a witness. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" But Jesus, as he so often does, he takes their witness and turns him against them. Abraham doesn't testify against Jesus, he testifies to Jesus. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham rejoiced when he saw the day of Jesus and God's promise to him that in his offspring, in Abraham's family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham looked forward to the day of Jesus with joy and gladness as he saw that day revealed when God spared his son Isaac with a ram. He saw the day when the very Lamb of God would substitute for all sinful people, when that Lamb would be placed upon the altar instead of Isaac or Abraham, you or me. He saw that day coming and he was glad. You see, I don't know if you noticed this, but Abraham doesn't call that mountain "the Lord has provided." Instead, he calls it "the Lord will provide." You know what? Thousands of years later, outside the walls of a city built on that very mountain, God would provide the lamb for the sacrifice. Once for all people, as our epistle lesson says, once for all sin. For it is God himself who is the greatest witness to Jesus, who testifies of him, who honors him, who glorifies him. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is the Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God." Jesus takes every witness away from these guys. Not only does Abraham not testify against Jesus, but for him, but God the Father, the God they claim to worship, testifies to Jesus that Jesus is his own dear son. The Father glorifies the Son. Jesus doesn't seek his own glory. He doesn't grasp after the honor from all men that he truly deserves. He will wait patiently for his Father to glorify him, to shine forth his glory throughout the entire world. "I do not seek my own glory," Jesus says. "There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge." The Father will seek the glory of his Son. He glorified him when those angels sang at his birth, when the Magi came from the east bearing great gifts. he glorified Jesus. When he testified to him as Jesus stood in the waters of the Jordan and on the mountain of Transfiguration. But these were simply previews of the glory that was yet to come. Glory that would begin in the most unexpected, the strangest way. For when Jesus is nailed to the tree, when he is lifted up high upon a cross, at the very moment when the Jews all looked at him and said, "I knew he was a liar or a lunatic," at that very moment, the Father is glorifying his Son. He is glorifying Jesus as the sacrifice for the sin of the world. He is glorifying Jesus as the Lamb who substitutes for us, as that ram substituted for Isaac. As the sun is darkened and the earth quakes, God is glorifying his Son as your Savior. You see, that's who Jesus is. Not a liar, not a lunatic, not simply a good teacher, wise philosopher, good buddy, or political activist, but your Savior. He is given bloody glory as the deliverer of all people from sin, death, and the power of the devil. The proof is 3 days later, as he leaves the tomb empty behind him. From there, it is glory to glory. He ascends into heaven, taking his rightful place at the right hand of the throne of God, from whence he will return on the last day, where all people, every knee will bow, and all people will give him the honor and the glory that is rightfully his. Some with joy and gladness, the joy and gladness of Abraham, and some with weeping and gnashing of teeth. The terrible realization that having dishonored Jesus, they have dishonored the Father. And the words of Jesus are true. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. That's why they reject him. Though they take his words quite seriously, they understand what his words mean, they refuse to believe them. "You are not yet 50 years old," they say, "and you have seen Abraham?" I don't think they ever could have predicted how Jesus would respond. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." You see, the world so often doesn't take these words seriously. It doesn't understand them. But the Jews did. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You see, they knew what Jesus claimed. They knew that he was saying that he didn't just exist before Abraham, but that he was the God of Abraham, the very one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush, true God from eternity. Liar, lunatic, Lord? Well, their actions tell their answer. And it will be only a matter of time before Jesus hides himself no more, and they nail him to a cross. What do you think of Jesus? Is he a liar, a lunatic, or Lord? Is he simply a good teacher, a wise companion on this life's journey, an example of compassion, the friend that you always wanted, or is he your Savior? Is he simply good for you in this life to help you make it through your day? or is he of eternal significance? So many churches, so many pastors spend all their time on the former, but St. Paul says, if in Christ we have hope for this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. A Jesus who only helps us in this life is worthless. And those who follow him, St. Paul says, are most to be pitied. He did not come so that your life in this world would be comfortable and great, and then you would spend eternity in hell. Jesus himself tells us why he came. If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Jesus has come to give you eternal life, to deliver you from the bonds and shackles of sin and death. Jesus has come to forgive all your sins by dying in your place. Jesus has come so that you will live forever. Through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus was vindicated. He was proven to be the Son of God and the sacrifice for the sin of the world. Through the cross and the empty tomb, the Father was vindicated. He was proven just and loving as he executed justice upon Jesus to show love to you. And through the cross and the empty tomb, you are vindicated, rescued from your enemies, made right with your God, justified, declared righteous in God's sight through the death and resurrection of Jesus for you. That, dear friends, is a Jesus worthy of honor. That is a Jesus worthy of joy and gladness. That is a Jesus glorified by his Father. Not a lunatic, not a liar, but your Lord and your Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand and we sing the Te Deum, found beginning on page 223.
Thank you.
and walk in the name of
one who truly is the glory of the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation in and through Jesus would be yours today and always. Continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, page 227 and following. We begin with the Kyrie. Please stand as you're able.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord be with you. Almighty God, by your great goodness, look mercifully upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. In his earthly ministry, he suffered much persecution for the sake of our salvation. As you ministered to him in his time of need, so minister to those around the world and in our own country who suffer for your name's sake. Protect them from every danger to body and soul. Strengthen them through your word to make the good confession without fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, merciful Father, for our partner churches around the world who share in our blessed fellowship around altar, font, and pulpit. Especially this day, we remember the work of Dr. Allman in Germany and Pastor Preuss in the Dominican Republic. Give us lips to sing your glory and tongues to speak your holy name. Always keep us steadfast in the saving doctrine of the blessed apostles drawn from your holy word. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, we thank you for the gift of family and for all relations and friends you give to us. Especially this day, we remember families that are hurting, that are broken, that seem to have no hope. Grant your blessings, Lord. Grant your blessings upon all families. And give to them what they need for the nourishment of their bodies, but especially do we pray for the nourishment of their souls in the gift of forgiveness and life given in your holy church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you loved us when we were far off and granted us your salvation. Though our sins brought your Son to the cross, we pray now for our enemies and for all who hate us. Take all bitterness from our hearts, that we may forgive those who trespass against us, as you richly forgive us every day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all who suffer in body and in soul. We remember Elaine Egner anticipating foot surgery this week. Cassie Borneman, hospitalized in Omaha. Dorothy White, hospitalized briefly this past week, but now home. And we give thanks for a successful heart procedure for Bob Van Valkenburg. In addition, we lay before you Jerry, Celeste, Maureen, Ed, Brett, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Carl and Callie, Warren, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Mark, Betty, Robert, Paris, Kristen, Desi, Kimberly, Raleigh, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Heavenly Father, bless these your children with your healing hand. According to your will, return them to good health and sound strength. Give to each of us every good thing that we need to support in this body and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you are the Lord of life. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones this day. Especially we pray for the family of Genevieve Holtzman, the family of Levon Rasmussen, and for Jay and Lindsay, friends of the Turks. Heavenly Father, you are a God of life, not a God of death, and yet through death you bring to us eternal life. Grant peace and comfort for all who mourn, knowing that their hope is in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn, number 547, The Lamb.
Oh,
for us and for our salvation. Please check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events for the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We're getting into a very, very busy time of the year. It's a separate insert in there that has all the different worship services for the remainder of Lent and Holy Week and Easter. So check that out, and we've got some special service times coming. One more Wednesday where we have church at 12:15 and then 6:30 at night with a fellowship meal. This week the Boy Scouts are serving, and so all those details are there. Fellowship meal from 5 until 6:15. We had lots of scouts here yesterday along with other members of the congregation for our congregational cleanup day. Thanks to everybody who was able to come and help spruce up things on the outside. Looks very good, and we pray that God would continue to bless us as we work together in those ways as a congregation. There are several different tables and setups out there. We've got some apparel from the radio station KNNA that is finally available today. Check that out. We've got signups for Easter lilies, Easter food. Youth has a sign up for helping serve with the Easter breakfast, so check all those things out. Also, there's a big barrel out there where we gather non-perishable food items. We do this on a regular basis here at Good Shepherd. They just came and picked up the food barrel, thanks to everybody who helped, but it's empty. And we have lots of people right now that are really, really hurting and in need. So if you can help us with some food items in that respect, or if you can help us out with some script or gift cards for gas or groceries, that would be a great blessing now as well. It is just a big time of need for many people right now among us. Pastor, you think I got it all? Pastor Russert, great to have you with us. Always good to see you, and blessings to you and yours. Max, come out with me and shake hands, okay? Excellent job. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.